What are you being told about who may be behind this? Because there have been these rumblings, haven't there, about some sort of environmental group.
It's clearly one possibility, and we genuinely don't yet know at this moment. The police are following a number of leads, but we genuinely don't know if this is a single individual with a grudge of some sort or whether it's a group of some sort. It could be an environmental group, though no one's claimed responsibility. So until the police complete their inquiries, we're genuinely not going to know.
I mean, in terms, though, of the response to this, that leaves a lot of questions that need to be answered, doesn't it, moving into the longer term here? Because, you know, the fact that this, you know, a single drone, we think, shutting an airport for 34 hours, that shouldn't be allowed to happen, should it?
Well, no, quite clearly, we're now going to have to take some serious steps around the protection of airports against an attack like this. There's no doubt that this poses a big challenge because there is no yet simple commercially off-the-shelf technology that can guarantee to dispose of to prevent a drone from coming close to an airport. There are some systems available. A small number of airports have started to take them. Heathrow is one that has a new system in place. But these are not completely fail-safe preventions against a drone attack. And one of the things I'm going to be doing today is talking to other airports so that we can make sure that everyone knows exactly what's happened at Gatwick, what's needed to be done to mitigate what's happened, and so we can start to put in place a strategy for the future to make sure this can't happen again. We've got to take this extremely seriously.
Minister, in terms of that strategy, I mean, there's been a lot of talk already about the legislation brought in the summer and this 1 kilometre exclusion zone. The pilots' union already saying, look, that should be 5 kilometres. In America, it's 5 miles, which is, about 7 kilometres. That's something that could be implemented reasonably quickly, isn't it?
Well, it is, of course, and that's one of the things we'll now look to accelerate. We've already got plans for further measures to protect airports against drones. We have, as you say, already legislated. There is a long prison sentence for people who do this. There is an exclusion zone around airports. But you've got to bear in mind this was a criminal offence. This wasn't somebody who was conforming to the law. This is somebody who was deliberately trying to disrupt an airport. And whatever laws we pass, you can't prevent someone actually breaking the law. So we've got to actually have proper measures in place to deal with that eventuality as well. Yes, we're almost certainly going to need to toughen the laws, but actually we need to prevent this happening when people just decide to wantonly break the law.
I mean, you talk about getting a proper strategy in place. There is going to be criticism when you look at the figures that we have so far. I mean, what is it, about 120 near misses between drones and aircraft in 2018 so far, up from 90-something, I think, last year. I mean, clearly, this is a problem, and we look at the dangers that drones actually do pose to aircraft.
Well, this is why we've already legislated and introduced penalties for those who are simply behaving irresponsibly. The fact is, if you fly a drone irresponsibly near an airport, you can go to jail for up to 5 years. There are much tougher penalties. We now need to look and see if we need to take that further. We've already got a consultation in place that can deepen the protective measures around our airports. But you have to bear in mind that whatever regulations we have, whatever laws we pass, it doesn't stop somebody who takes a drone unlawfully, flies around an airport, deliberately trying to disrupt that airport for a period of time. And we've seen dozens of sightings of this drone over the last 24 hours. This was a deliberate attempt to disrupt the airport. And that requires a different kind of preventative measure. And that's what we now need to work with very quickly with airports all around the United Kingdom.
But we wonder if we're playing catch-up a little bit, and perhaps understandably so. I don't mean it as a particularly spiked criticism, but we are playing catch-up, aren't we, in the sense that there are so many drones out there now. There is no current registration process. I mean, all these things need to be brought forward pretty quickly.
Well, absolutely, and we've already put in place plans for a registration system. But of course, again, it's fine to have systems that work for those people who are using drones responsibly or even irresponsibly. It's much more difficult to legislate against is wanton criminal behaviour of this kind. And this is something that's not been experienced anywhere in the world. No one anywhere in the world has experienced an incident like this before. I hope that nobody else does. But we have got to move very quickly. This is, it's not a terror incident in the conventional sense, but it is a disruption incident of a kind that we have not experienced in this country before, that other countries haven't experienced, and we've now got to make sure we've got all the measures in place that we possibly can to prevent this from happening.
Where are we in the nuances of how we interpret the law here? You're talking about 5-year maximum term for sort of breaching the airspace, if you like. The Assistant Chief Constable telling us earlier on you could look at, you know, a life term when you look at endangering passengers and endangering aircraft. Some people will look at those two and say, well, actually, perhaps that 5-year term needs to be increased.
Well, the reality is that there are a number of offences which could be, a number of charges that could be brought to bear against the person who's done this. There are offences that are sometimes used when people, you know, deliberately block motorways, for example, that can carry much longer sentences than this. But clearly, if there is a need, and if the police advise us that they need longer sentences, if the courts and the judiciary advise us they want to have access to longer sentences, then of course we'll do that. But the reality is they've got a lot of flexibility at the moment, whether it's endangering an aircraft, whether it's charges around disruption of risk to the public. There are a variety of charges that could be brought to bear that can carry very substantial jail sentences. And my view is that the person or people who've done this should face long jail sentences.
Just a final thought, if this drone reappears, are there people standing by ready to shoot it down here, as far as you're aware?
Well, I don't want to give too much detail about the protections that have been put in place. A lot of people have said over the last 24 hours, why don't we shoot it down? You have to be very careful about this. There have been incidents in other parts of the world, not of this kind, but where other governments have tried to shoot down drones, have fired literally thousands of rounds of ammunition and not succeeded in doing so. This is a built-up area. If drones are to be shot down, it's got to be done very carefully. You can't just fire randomly into the sky and hope you can bring it down. They buzz around, they're very, very quick, very hard to target. So I don't want to talk about the specific measures now being taken, but I'd simply say, when people say, can't you just shoot it down, it's much less easy than people think.